This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's time for your Green and Gold update on Wisconsin Sports Daily, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook
on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan,
with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer.
It is that time where we check in what's going on with the Green Bay Packers, and joining me to help us do that today, you can find his work at PackerReport.com. It is Jacob Morley. Jacob, how are you this afternoon, my man?
I'm doing good, man. A little cold here in Kansas City. Might get some snow tonight even, but other than that, I'm doing good.
Yeah, so we had a guest booked for this hour. They live a little bit north of us in Wisconsin, and they had to cancel because I guess they're getting hit with a blizzard, and he had to go get his kids from school before that blizzard hit. So weather everywhere. People be safe out there, and just sit back and enjoy me and Jacob Morley talking some Packers with you this Wednesday afternoon. Let's start with the most recent move. They go out and they get Mecole Hardman late last night, the wide receiver and kick returner from the Kansas City Chiefs. How did you feel about that pickup for the Packers, Jacob?
I mean, it's fine. Yeah, you know, that kind of was my initial response.
Yeah, exactly.
At this point, you know, in free agency, that's who's available, the Mecole Hardmans of the world. And, you know, living in Kansas City, a lot of my buddies write and cover the Chiefs, kind of talking to them. It's, you know, it's he's fast. He can run. And I think the most important thing, you know, you look at Matt LaFleur's offense, and it is a timing and spacing offense. And if you don't have a guy that can run, teams will just squat on all the short stuff and kind of make life difficult for you. So I don't know if Mecole is going to be that guy that's going to put fear into defenses and make you respect him, kind of like Christian Watson did for them. His deep ability was something that you turn on the All-22 and it's pretty evident that defensive coordinators respect him deep. And not having that guy is not great. And so, like I said, I don't know if Mecole solves all those problems. But I like the fact that they're taking a stab at it and saying, well, maybe he will. You know, maybe he does here. Maybe he helps us in that area. So I like it as far as just, you know, you're insulating that room with a little bit more speed. If he makes the team and is good, he's going to return kicks, he's going to return punts, and he can help you out in your vertical passing game. But if not, you know, maybe they get a rookie that does all that stuff anyways, and they don't even need to keep Mecole. So I think it's a fine move. I think it's a move you make at this point in the year.
Is this as much a special teams move as it is a wide receiver move? With I guess the hole opened up with Nixon saying after the season ended he didn't really have any interest in returning punts anymore. Is this as much a move to get a returner and address that need for this football team as it is to go and get a wide receiver?
Yeah, it certainly could be. Certainly could be. You know, he is a very good kick returner. He's a pretty good punt returner. I know he did drive some people nuts around here with his punt return decisions that he would make sometimes. But if you get the ball in his hands, you've seen it. You know, he's taken it to the house before. And I think getting Jaden Reed off of that might be advantageous to them as well, just because I don't think that they want that guy taking more shots than he needs to take. So you're right. It could be just very much a, hey, we're going to have a couple packages for you on offense, but mostly you're here just to return kicks.
Were you surprised they didn't get in on some of the big-name wide receivers that changed teams this offseason? I just looked up at my TV and saw Davante Adams catching passes. There was DK Metcalf, Deebo Samuel, Cooper Kupp. Any of those guys or some of the other maybe lesser-known wide receivers that changed teams this offseason that you thought could have helped the Packers?
I'm surprised that we didn't hear them linked to more people. I think, you know, at the end of the day, I still think they really like that room. You know, for better or worse, you know, right or wrong, they still like the young guys that they have. And, you know, looking at it objectively and trying to kind of space yourself away from it, I would have loved, you know, the Packers fan in me would have loved to see Davante Adams back in green and gold. That story would have been awesome. But I don't know how much he really adds as far as, you know, that vertical threat that you need. Like, obviously, they would be a better team with Davante Adams. Like, no question about it. But DK Metcalf was really the guy I thought that would have moved the needle for this offense because, you know, he's kind of what you draft your Christian Watson to be, you know, fully developed, hitting his ceiling. Like, that's DK Metcalf. And he would have made a lot of sense in this offense, but then you see what he got paid. And, that's a lot. He got a lot of money, and good for him. But I just don't know. I don't know if that is really what the Packers would have wanted to do. And looking at them historically, that would have really been kind of a deviation away from the norm for them to go out and get someone else's receiver and pay him a lot of money. You know, the Green Bay Packer way that has worked out really well for them is you draft your receivers, you pay them when it's time to get paid, and, you know, rinse, repeat. That's more what I think they typically want to do. And even though they were in the DK Metcalf sweepstakes, allegedly not, I don't know, it depends who you talk to, it just seems like they really just kind of want to go back to the well of, let's get a rookie in here. Let's hope one of these young guys develops, because you know what? That's what we've always done, and it's always worked out for us.
Talking with Jacob Morley of the Packer Report here on the Wisconsin Sports Daily Show with me, Rami, in for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Did you think it was wise to spend their money where they ended up spending their money? First with guard Aaron Banks, he comes over, and then they also go and get the cornerback Hobbs from Las Vegas. What did you think of those two signings?
I really liked the Hobbs signing. I really did, and I just didn't think he would be a guy that would make it to market. When he's healthy, and again, that's when he's healthy, that's a question, but when he is healthy, he's a really good player, and he's someone that will help this defense drastically, I think. And you look at what they actually paid him, a lot of that was funny money when you kind of look at the contract and how it's broken down. Like, make no mistake, he's getting paid, but it really is like a one-year deal with a bunch of team options after that. The Banks contract, I wasn't as wild about. I wasn't as wild in general about the Banks signing, just because I think he's a good, not great guard, and now he's getting paid like a top 10 guard in this league. You're not wild about that, but that's in the same breath, that is free agency. Like, that is how it goes. If you want to get some of these guys into your building, you have to overpay. We don't know what went on behind the scenes. There might have been four teams involved trying to get his services, and Green Bay really wanted him, so they were willing to, you know, tick up the price and get him here. I think with him, though, what ultimately you are excited about with him is the offensive line is such a unit. It's such a weak link unit, too. Like, getting rid of I love what Josh Myers brought to the team as far as character and toughness, all that stuff. But, you know, he left some to be desired a little bit as a center for this team. I think moving Elton Jenkins to center is a massive upgrade at that spot. And I think moving Banks then to left guard, he's not as good as Elton Jenkins at left guard, but he's not a bad player either. So I think when you look left to right, all five guys, you've got good to very good players across that entire offensive line. And I think ultimately that is what the most important thing is for offensive linemen. I mean, we saw it in Philadelphia. You've got a good offensive line all year long. Those guys played well. They were a big reason for the Packers' success last year. And then, boom, playoff game, Philadelphia. You lose a guy, and then it falls off a cliff. You got Kadeem Telford and Travis Glover playing guard against Jalen Carter, and we saw how that went. So I think they really just want to look at that and not let that happen again, in the sense of we want 8 or 9 guys that we believe can play. And I don't think that's a bad strategy.
With that in mind, they're going to have to decide pretty soon if they're going to pay one of or both of or neither of those tackles. Which way do you think they end up going?
I think that's the most fascinating thing this offseason, is how that offensive line is going to shake out. This is speculation, and I've said this before. I don't have any insight on this. But you look at the way the Packers talk about Zach Tom, and then look at the way they talk about Rasheed Walker. They go out of their way to heap on the praise for Zach Tom. They love him. He's going to get paid. And then they talk about Rasheed Walker. And Coach LaFleur had the quote last year where the media people, you know, we were talking them up, saying, oh, Rasheed Walker's playing well, right? And Matt goes, well, you know, you don't want to pat a guy on the butt and have him poop in your hand, which is one, a weird thing to say, but two, also, you know, that would have been a really easy opportunity for Matt to just say, yeah, what a guy, what a seventh round pick who's turned himself into a starting caliber left tackle in this league. Like, he's the poster boy for draft and develop. Like, that is absolutely, he could have said that and he didn't. So to me, you know, just reading between the lines, it seems like they don't love him. Like, can we upgrade there? I don't know. Or at least, at the very least, to me, it seems like they're not tripping over themselves to pay him. Because you look at what some of these tackles got on the open market this year. Dan Moore, Jalen Moore. Rasheed Walker's better than both of them. He's younger than both of them. He's going to get a bigger contract than both of them. And I don't know if Green Bay is thrilled to be the team to give him that. And so what's fascinating to me is with the Banks signing, then you kind of look at it and say, well, Goody has said multiple times that Jordan Morgan is a left tackle. We drafted him to play tackle. So he's going to get, in my opinion, he's going to get every chance to win that left tackle spot this offseason. And if he does, I don't know what you do with Rasheed Walker then. I mean, Rasheed Walker immediately turns into probably the best swing tackle in the NFL, which is valuable and it's great to have. But at that point, do they think about, hey, look at what these guys are getting paid. What could we get out of him? You know, would someone be willing to part with a day 2 pick for Rasheed Walker? I don't know. And that to me is fascinating. I don't know. Like, again, that is completely speculating. I have no idea. It just, you put all that stuff, you know, you put all that stuff in a jar, shake it out, and you roll it out. And that's kind of what, to me, it looks like, is like they don't really want to pay Rasheed Walker. So we'll see. Like, again, I think that is the most fascinating thing this offseason. And for all you know, Rasheed Walker is going to be opening day starter at left tackle. I don't know. He's a good player. So you could be in worse spots for sure.
It definitely is an interesting situation to keep an eye on. Talking with Jacob Morley of the Packer Report here on Wisconsin Sports Daily. All right, so now, I mean, free agency is mostly done. You know, they added Mecole Hardman last night, and there might be one or two other signings of that ilk. But I think we look ahead to the draft now. How much of what they've done in the offseason changes or informs what you think or hope they'll do coming up in the draft next month?
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, that's what's interesting too, right, is they talked about wanting to get after the quarterback with four up front, and that led a lot of us to believe that they're going to be really active in the, you know, in the pass rush department for free agency, and they weren't.
Yeah,
they just really weren't. And so that makes me think, you know, you look at the strengths of this draft class, you look at where they're picking at 23, and you can kind of narrow it down. And I just think they're going to take an interior defensive lineman, because there's a lot of good ones in this year's draft class. It wouldn't shock me at all if they get to pick 23 and the best two, three players on their board are defensive linemen, and you just take one at that point. So I think it doesn't really change anything in the sense of, if they still want to get after the quarterback, they're going to have to draft those guys now. And that's a tough thing to do, because that is a tough position to come in and play really well as a rookie. It's not common. Like, even Kenny Clark, if you remember back to his rookie season, kind of a non-factor. I mean, he really kind of made his hay his second and third year.
Yeah.
So those guys are tough. They're tough to get in and have them play really well right away. So I think a lot of it is going to be, like I said, with the wide receiver group, they're kind of banking on their young guys developing. The Lucas Van Ness, can he take a jump that they've been waiting for? How much do they like Brenton Cox? I mean, he was a, you know, people don't know his backstory. He was a five-star recruit coming out of high school, had issues with coaching staffs in college. Talent was never an issue. So that's still there. Like, do they like him? Once he got on the field last year, he looked like a pretty promising young player. Are they going to rely on him? Are they banking on that? That doesn't seem like a great idea, but I've been wrong before in the past, and the Packers are typically right about this stuff when they do kind of go out there and put their stuff on the table and say, hey, this is what we hope happens, and we believe in these guys developing. A lot of times they do. And that's kind of why the Packers are, you know, consistently a pretty solid organization. So we'll see what they do in the draft. I still think, yeah, they're going to take a guy that puts quarterbacks on their butt. Like, that's what they're going to go after.
When you talk about them liking that wide receiver room and counting on some of those guys to take that next step, don't you think they're also counting or hoping that Jordan Love takes that next step and sort of elevates the play of not just those receivers, but everyone around them, like great quarterbacks do in this league? Don't you think that's kind of what they're banking on as well?
100%. I mean, you look at, why was everyone so excited about these receivers after the 23 season? Because Jordan Love made him look really good.
Right.
And ultimately that's what it was, is, you know, he caught fire the second half of the year, and we've seen him play at that level now. And this last year, 24, you know, you can talk about anything you want to talk about, you know, sophomore slump, he was injured, the receivers didn't play, whatever excuse you want to make, that's all fine. But Jordan Love needs to play better. And I think he would be the first one to admit that as well. And some of those excuses might even be correct. He was hurt. They did have like some issues in that wide receiver room. Those guys didn't step up as much, but bottom line is, like, you're right. He just needs to make those guys look good again. And I think he can. We've seen it. A lot of times we really find out who a guy is as far as quarterbacking in their third season. And so this is a huge year for Jordan Love. And I think he's going to tell us, and he's going to show us, am I a top five quarterback in this league? Or am I a guy that's just going to consistently kind of be in that 10 to 12 range where, you know, that's good enough. Like, you're going to win a lot of games. You're going to win a lot of games with the quarterback that is that good. But are you going to win any championships? And so I think this is the year that he's going to really show us who he is.
Talking with Jacob Morley of the Packer Report for just a couple more minutes here on Wisconsin Sports Daily. The Packers don't exist in a vacuum, Jacob. There are other teams that they're competing with. And you look around the rest of the division, the Bears very active in free agency and making some trades on a lot of most improved lists here in the offseason. The Vikings made some moves. The Lions less active, and they lost a lot of their brain trust in their offensive and defensive coordinator. How much ground do you think the Packers have gained or lose or lost in the NFC North so far?
Well, I think what you have to look at this too. The Packers didn't really lose anyone, right? The additions that they've added are just that. They're additions. For the Vikings, you know, they signed, you know, they kept Brian Murphy. They had some of these interior guys come in, but they lost some guys as well. The Lions, kind of the same thing. They went out and got DJ Reed, which a lot of Packers fans wanted, but they lost Carlton Davis. Like, that was kind of a supplemental type of signing. It wasn't really a, oh man, we just added this guy. So I think they did gain ground on the Lions. The Vikings are interesting. I mean, it's weird to me why they're even entertaining veteran quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers to come play there when you just took a guy in the top 10 to like a, you know, a year and a half ago. Granted, yeah, he got hurt, all this and that, but he's been in your building. He's been in your program now for a year. Like, why are you even entertaining bringing someone else in to compete for that starting job if you think he's the guy? And that's kind of interesting to me. I will say this, Kevin O'Connell, though, too, is also a lot more mindful about QB development than a lot of coaches we've seen in the past. That could just be that. I think with the Lions, with their coaching staff, we're going to find out who is stirring the drink there. Is it Dan Campbell? It might be. My guess would be yes, but, you know, they lost their OC and their DC. You know, Dan's going to have to show he can replace those guys now, like all the other good coaches in the league that are able to kind of develop these head coaches and shoo them out the door and bring new talent in. So he's going to have to prove that he can do that. And then the Bears, Rami, the Bears are the Bears. Like, I'll believe it. I'll believe it when I see it. You know, that's just kind of where I'm at. I'll believe it. And listen, like, Ben Johnson is, I wasn't thrilled. I'm not thrilled that's who they got to be their head coach. But it would not be the craziest thing in the world to see this Wonder Boy offensive coordinator get a head coaching gig and fall into space. It happens all the time.
Yep.
So with the Bears, I do like the moves that they've made this offseason. I think it's smart of them, and I think it's smart of Ben Johnson to look at the team and the roster and say, hey, what we were so successful with in Detroit was we had five guys up front that would just mash you. I want to do that here in Chicago. And I want to give Caleb Williams a chance behind an offensive line. Like, I think they're doing all the right things. But at the end of the day, like I said, they're the Bears. So we'll see. And I could absolutely eat those words. It's happened before. I've said things that have gone completely wrong. But we'll see. We will see with the Bears.
Jacob, I don't know if you knew this when you delivered that line, but full disclosure, I am a Bears fan, born and raised in the Chicago area, and I'm in the same exact place, man. Like, everything that you just said, that everything that they're doing makes sense on paper, but still wise to look at it and go, I'll believe it when I see it, when what's on paper actually translates on the field. So I think you're spot on, and that's from the perspective of somebody who talks about the Bears on a Chicago station and has been rooting for them my whole life. So I don't know that you will be eating those words. You can check out his words at PackerReport.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Jacob Morley, and our guest for the last few minutes here on Wisconsin Sports Daily. Jacob, really appreciate the time and the insight, man.
All right. Thank you for having me on, Ronnie.